Welcome to the Jazz Treasury Podcast. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again, where we examine another aspect of jazz. And today, we look at a musician, a fabulous musician who brought the electric guitar from the rhythm section to the forefront, Charlie Christian. Of all the great jazz pioneers, Charlie Christian had the shortest career, dying at the age of 25. His recording life was even shorter, less than 2 years. In that brief time, though he did for the newly perfected electric guitar what Coleman Hawkins had done for the tenor saxophone, he invented it as a jazz instrument and laid down the guidelines which later generations were to follow. From the moment he was born on July 29, 1916, in Dallas, Texas, Charlie Christian was destined to become a musician. His whole family were musical entertainers. His father was a blind guitarist and singer, an honorable calling in the Afro-American community during the early decades of this century. Itinerant blind musicians had inherited some of the status of the West Africans' griots, or public minstrels. Several of them, including Blind Lemon Jefferson and Blind Blake, became popular recording artists in the 1920s. This is a point worth making, since Charlie's story has sometimes been represented as a near miraculous rise to stardom from the gutter. His family were certainly poor, but their entire community was poor, and they held a respected place in it. In 1921, the family, including the 5-year-old Charlie, moved to Oklahoma City. There they formed a family band, and young Charles tried every instrument he could. His father thought a trumpet might be a useful addition, but Charlie did not take to it and stuck to stringed instruments. The early lives of great jazz musicians are almost always obscure and the subject of much guesswork, but by remarkable coincidence, Charlie grew up with the future novelist Ralph Ellison, author of the classic Black American novel Invisible Man. Ellison's younger brother was in the same class as Charlie at the Douglas School. From the writer's memories of those days, we learn that Charlie and Clarence spent most of their time in the woodwork shop, making their own guitars out of cigar boxes. First track I'd like to share is Solo Flight. And Solo Flight was recorded in New York City in 1941 and written by Charlie Christian with Benny Goodman. And it features Alec Fila, Irving Goodman, Jimmy Maxwell, and Cootie Williams on trumpets. Cuddy Cutshall, Lou McCarity on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Gus Bivona, Skippy Martin on alto sax, George Auld, Pete Mondello on tenors, Bob Snyder on baritone sax, Johnny Guarnieri on piano, Charlie Christian on electric guitar, Artie Bernstein on bass, and David Tuff on drums. Let's listen to Solo Flight, 1941, on the Jazz Treasury.
Thank you.
Charlie Christian playing Solo Flight. This was Charlie's solo feature with the full Goodman Orchestra. Jimmy Mundy's arrangement provides the perfect setting for showing off not only Charlie's fluency and swing, but also the ability of the electric guitar to sustain a solo part effortlessly against a whole orchestra. Charlie Christian is to jazz what Robert Johnson is to the blues. A pioneer, an exceptional guitarist, a man who died way too young, and a player only truly appreciated after he passed away. Christian was the guitar player with the jazz band leader Benny Goodman from 1939 to 1942. And while the music may now sound mellow, Christian introduced a whole new soloing vocabulary to jazz and the electric guitar itself. The guitar he played, a Gibson ES-150, proved influential too, especially its pickup, now known as the Charlie Christian pickup. Charlie Christian's tenure with the Benny Goodman sextet may have been short, but it was groundbreaking. Before Christian, the guitar was not widely accepted as a soloing instrument, but Christian played with the fluidity, confidence, and swing of a saxophonist, and his style set the template for the likes of Barney Kessel, Herb Ellis, Wes Montgomery, and George Benson who follow. Jazz guitar legend Kessel idolized Christian and was lucky enough as a 16-year-old to jam with him in 1940. Kessel told guitar players Yaz Orbricht, "Charlie told me many things that day. Let's listen to another track. How about Ad Lib Blues?" Ad Lib Blues was recorded in 1940, once again in New York City, in a smaller band this time with Buck Clayton on trumpet, Lester Young playing tenor, Count Basie on piano, Charlie Christian on electric guitar, Artie Bernstein on bass, and Joe Jones on the drums. Let's listen to Ad Lib Blues, Charlie Christian on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Charlie Christian doing Ad Lib Blues. On October 24th, 1940, Goodman and Charlie set in as guests with Count Basie's orchestra. The idea for his new sextet was already in Benny's mind, and he set up this session with some of Basie's men 4 days later as a trial run. The recordings were never meant for release and only came to light decades later. This was a warm-up jam before Benny arrived. The closeness of Lester Young and Charlie in style and even sound is quite remarkable. If this lineup had become a permanent band, it would have been sensational. Now, renowned blues and jazz talent scout producer John Hammond arranged for Christian to audition to travel to Los Angeles in August 1939 and try out with Benny Goodman. Legend has it that the clarinetist was initially wary of Christian's shoddy dress sense and poor first audition, but Christian impressed later. Goodman asked Christian to play Rose Room, believing the young wannabe guitar player wouldn't know the tune. In fact, Christian knew it perfectly. He'd been playing it at home gigs in Oklahoma City for years. Within minutes, Charlie Christian was hired. Jazz guitarist Steve Kahn says, "If you haven't taken the time to go back and listen to Charlie Christian, you will truly be amazed at how much of Wes Montgomery, Kenny Burrell, Grant Green, and others you'll hear in his very futuristic playing. He was far ahead of his time. A great, great pity that he passed away at such a young age." It's a jazz cliche these days for guitarists to say, "I try and sound like a horn player." According to Kessel, Christian's smooth tones paved the way. Charlie Christian's tone was horn-like. It's more like the velvety sound of some of the saxophone players and trombone players. As a matter of fact, many people that heard him play that didn't know him didn't even know that they were listening to a guitar. They didn't know anything about it. They just were simply going to this club where he might be playing, and they'd hear the music from outside, and they didn't know that there was such a thing as an electric guitar. Almost all of them thought it was a tenor saxophone. Let's listen to one more from Charlie Christian. How about Breakfast Feud? Breakfast Feud, recorded in 1940, once again, New York City. This time, Cootie Williams on trumpet, Benny Goodman on clarinet, George Auld on tenor, Kenny Kersey on piano, Charlie Christian on electric guitar, Artie Bernstein on bass, and Harry Yeager on drums. Let's listen to Breakfast Feud on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. And that was Breakfast Feud, Charlie Christian, written by Benny Goodman. This track has been singled out as a perfect example of Charlie Christian's achievement in giving the electric guitar the weight and presence of a horn or wind instrument, not simply in terms of volume, but also in having a tone color and character of its own. The musicologist Gunther Schuller produced a detailed analysis of Charlie's solo passages here, showing how he twists and reshapes the same few phrases to make completely fresh lines. A 23-year-old with plenty of money in his pocket, a glamorous job, and no responsibilities cannot be expected to do things in moderation. Charlie had a good time. He drank all manner of drinks, smoked a variety of substances, and did his best to oblige all the girls who wanted obliging. He also played wherever and whenever he could. His favorite place for after-hours jamming was Minton's Playhouse on 118th Street in Harlem, where the next generation of jazz musicians was hatching the musical revolution that became bebop. Thelonious Monk, Dizzy Gillespie, Kenny Clarke, and Charlie Parker were the leading lights, and also Charlie Christian. There were three reasons for playing, Charlie explained. You were being paid good money, you were learning something, or you were having fun. Any one of those was enough, while all three constituted perfection. But if none of them applied, the best thing to do was pack up and go somewhere else. This formula, which could be dubbed Charlie's Law, holds good as a rule of thumb for jazz musicians to this day. All young people think they are immortal, but Charlie's time was running out. He had contracted tuberculosis early in his life, and now, under the pressure of his nonstop lifestyle, it flared up again. In June 1941, he was taken ill while on tour with Goodman and brought back to New York's Bellevue Hospital, then moved to Seaview Sanitarium on Staten Island, New York City. Count Basie asked his own doctor, Dr. Sam McKinney, to keep an eye on his progress. Teddy Hill, proprietor of Minton's, came every week, bringing fried chicken and cakes. Other well-meaning friends came bearing gifts of whiskey and dope to cheer him up for a while. Charlie seemed to be improving, but suddenly took a turn for the worse and died on March 2, 1942. Let's listen to another track from Charlie Christian. How about Waiting for Benny? Now, Waiting for Benny was written by Charlie Christian, and once again, Cootie Williams on trumpet, Georgie Ould on tenor, Charlie Christian electric guitar, Johnny Guarnieri on piano, Artie Bernstein on bass, and David Tuff on drums. New York City, 1941. Let's listen to Waiting for Benny by Charlie Christian on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Oh yeah, Waiting for Benny. Written by Charlie Christian. And this is another warm-up jam, recorded as a test before Goodman arrived to begin the sextet session proper. Starts with scrappy, random phrases, but gradually evolves under Charlie's informal direction. He is clearly the strongest musical personality present. The riff was to become the main theme of a new number. The jam ends with the engineering calling, "Stand by," as the acetate recording disc is about to run out. Well, considering that his entire recording career lasted less than 2 years, Charlie Christian managed to leave a surprisingly large body of work. Everyone who heard him playing in jam sessions said the same thing. His imagination was so fertile that he could go on endlessly in inventing new variations, each one built on its predecessor. Had he lived, Charlie would no doubt have had a distinguished recording career. After all, he would only have been 50 in 1966. Well, that's it for this edition of the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. I really, really appreciate the listeners around the world who are going to iTunes and subscribing, who are going to Facebook and liking that and spreading the word and keeping the flame of jazz alive. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to hear the music of Johnny Dodds, great clarinet player that we'll be hearing more of. Not many people know about him, but a fantastic clarinet player from the 40s and 50s named Johnny Dodds. Anyway, until then, enjoy the jazz.